It's sad, so sad, with a sad, sad situation, and it's getting more and more absurd. It's sad, so sad, why can't we talk it over? Oh, it seems to me that sorry seems to be the hardest word.
Hello again, I'm Andy Goodman, and welcome to Rant and Rave, the podcast. Hard to believe it's November already, isn't it? Well, a new month means a new theme, and this month at the Rogue Machine Theater, Roxanne Hart and John Polono have decided the key word is apologies. Over the next 4 weeks, we'll hear from Sarayu Blue, who asks, when your native language doesn't have the English equivalent for I'm sorry, what are apologies really like? We'll hear from Patty Tierce, who has a classic example of an apology that's not really an apology, and I'm sure you've been on one side or the other of one of those, right? We'll hear from Tyson Thoreau, who has a problem with apologies. He makes them too often. And for that, naturally, he'd like to apologize. And to start it all off, we're going to hear from a Rant and Rave veteran who has a long list of apologies to offer to friends, family, neighbors, even other drivers on the road. But her biggest apology is saved for her smallest friend. Here's Rant and Rave's host, Ron Batita, to introduce her to you right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Rogue Machine's Rant and Rave. Tanya McClure is a writer, director, photographer, and an alumni of the Groundling Theatre Sunday Company. This is Tanya's fifth time at Rant and Rave. She's happy to be here tonight, and so are we. Ladies and gentlemen, Tanya McClure!
As a former bed-puking drunk, I find myself with a long list of apologies to make. First, to anyone whose party I ever attended, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I drank all of your booze, monopolized your conversations, and got so wasted and hilarious that you were forced to stow me away in your guest room, on your sofa, or let me lie passed out on the floor in the middle of your swell gathering. For all of that, I'm sorry. To my friends who flew across the country to visit me that time, I'm sorry for making you sleep like a hobo under a trench coat because I didn't bother buying things like sheets. Or blankets. Or food. I'm also sorry to make you just miss your return flight 2 minutes too late. To my neighbor, I'm sorry I set your stairs on fire. To my girlfriend, I'm sorry for many things, like having no cognizance that one doesn't clip their nails in public. Or in someone else's car. Or in someone else's bed. I also apologize for dressing like a bus driver on dates. To all my former roommates, I'm sorry for using all the hot water, for letting the gas get shut off, and for cooking my boogers on the space heater. For all of that, I'm sorry. But most of all, I'm sorry to my pets. And there were several. I'm sorry to my cat, Weenie, to my parrot, Earl, and to my little dog, Natalie, all of whom had no choice when I rescued them but to live with me when I was a complete fucking out of control drunk. Here's the thing. In the deep, dark pit of alcohol addiction, things you need to apologize for become bigger and bigger beasts. Beasts that you run from. And you find yourself apologizing under your breath just for waking up again. God, I'm alive still. Ugh, I'm sorry I'm still alive. Eventually, you even stop saying it or thinking it. It's like I embodied one great big apology. My entire existence became an all-encompassing, I'm sorry. In hindsight, I was suffering. At the time, I was oblivious. But the beings who suffer the most during this time were my pets, and my little dog, Natalie, was no different. I adopted Natalie at the very beginning of my deep, dark days, as I like to call them, the days when I really began looking at life through a booze bottle in earnest, a perspective that eventually made everything about living suck, everything that is except for my sweet, delightful little dog, Natalie, whom I loved. She was my one bright, shiny, funny light. Natalie was a miniature pincher mix with the largest vagina-to-body ratio you have ever seen. I mean, she was still a little dog, so it wasn't like the size of a Volkswagen or something. But it was just large for her size. And I don't want you to think I was always checking out her dogina. Okay, I wasn't. It was just that you couldn't possibly miss it. I mean, you really wanted to miss it, but no matter how soused you were, you couldn't miss it. It was freakish. Natalie was the kind of little dog you could throw in a bag and take places. And if I ever went places, I would have. I had the bag and I had the dog, but during this time period, if places didn't mean booze, I wasn't going anywhere. Sometimes when I was trashed at home, I would put Natalie in the bag and travel around the house for fun. It. Stumbling from room to room to door jam to couch and then flicking on that TV show Intervention for a good laugh. This was a favorite pastime of ours until my cat pissed all over that bag and I threw it into a closet of other piss-soaked shit I no longer bothered with. I hadn't thought I was a little dog person when I first got Natalie. She was one of those useless, yappy types I was always so sure I would hate, except someone had removed her voice box, which made her the whisper version of yappy. Hey! 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 When I found her at the pound, her nails were so long it looked like elbow macaroni was growing from her tiny dog feet. The shelter was holding her and 79 other small dogs as evidence in an animal cruelty case, and no one was allowed to touch any of them until they were released for auction the following weekend. But every day, I drove over the hill to the East Valley Animal Shelter to talk to her and hold her little macaroni nails through the chain link fence while she wagged her tail and licked my fingers. It got to be so that she expected to see me, and I could never wait to see her either. When the auction came, I got there early so no one else would steal her from me. I brought all the money I had in the world, about $140, and was prepared to throw down with any asshole who tried to win Natalie away from me. It was clear to me that she was the best dog of the lot, and everyone would want her. Instead, everyone was bidding against each other for these vicious little Chihuahua dogs that were maybe cuter than Natalie, but nowhere near as excellent in sweet personality. Maybe it was that freakish dog peepee thing she had. Because no one else wanted her except me. It was crickets from everyone else, so I won big time. Natalie and I now had each other, and I could tell she was happy about it as she couldn't stop looking me in the face when it was time to leave. Who knew? from a piece of animal cruelty evidence to beloved pet. She must have thought she hit the doggy jackpot until I got her home to my apartment caked in cat diarrhea and so many fruit fries, the ceilings were black with them. Yep. Natalie did everything and went everywhere with me, which only amounted to Starbucks, the liquor store, and the grocery store. In the car, she would go, and due to all the piles of junk, she had to sit on my lap or ride on the dashboard, which got us pulled over at one point. We laughed when the cops asked us if we were living in my car. What do I look like? A bleary-eyed, insane person with a self-administered haircut or something? Cops are so dumb. As I sank deeper into the bottle, Natalie was there. I drank all the waking hours of the day and night, pounding screwdrivers in my computer keyboard, being hilarious on Facebook. Natalie sitting in my lap or on the desk next to me while I chain-smoked and got to the business of giving away free humor on social media and sometimes working on my lame screenplay about a suicidal drunk hoarder. My drinking buddy lived in the front house, and I can't remember what we were celebrating. Likely we weren't celebrating anything other than the delicious flavor of vodka. Or perhaps he had gotten his hands on some money and had offered to buy me a drink. And that's how it was then. I never had any money, he never had any money, but whenever the other one did have cash, we'd blow the whole wad on the makings of delicious chicken fried steaks with a shit ton of mashed potatoes and country gravy. He'd get bottles of wine, and I'd get a big bottle of cheap Gordon's vodka and a jug of orange juice. And we'd sit around gorging ourselves, watching Top Chef, playing Rock Band, and getting fucked up. On the nights we had extra money, we'd go to the bar afterward. Yeah. I remember getting there. I think I remember shooting pool against a leather-clad daddy bear and his twink while my friend perused the bar for a quality boyfriend. I'm positive I drove because I always drove when I was wasted, and for that I'm sorry. I don't remember anything after the pool game, but at 4 a.m. I found myself in my own bed needing to pee and vomit. Still drunk, I weaved my way to the toilet. And after the retching subsided, I'm feeling it safe to lie down again. I've puked in my bed before, and I don't want to do it again because that might mean I'm an alcoholic. It's then that I started looking for Natalie. I didn't know where she was. I started calling for her. Natalie! But there's no response. And I lift up the blanket, and that's when I find Natalie dead in the sheets. And a noise comes out of me. I had been so fucking drunk that I smothered her to death by passing out on top of her. At least I think that's what happened because I can't remember even coming home. And it was so horrible, and I am so horrible. Natalie, I'm sorry. I am ashamed. My guilt and my grief are infinite. Natalie, I'm sorry. And this is what haunts me. This is the unbearable secret I have carried. Yet even this wasn't enough to get me sober. Natalie, I'm sorry. Today, I finally am sober. Today, I haven't had a drink in 3 years, 1 month, and 21 days. And today, I'm making amends. To everyone here, I killed my dog, and I'm sorry. I killed my dog because I was drunk, and I can stand here and I can ask every one of you to accept my apologies. Please, I'm sorry. But sorry isn't enough when it's forgiveness you need, and I can't tell Natalie I'm sorry, and I can't ask Natalie to forgive me, and as of yet, I haven't been able to forgive myself.
That was Tanya McClure with her take on apologies. We'll continue this theme next week, so please look for the newest edition of this podcast on our website, roguemachinetheater.com, and you can find us on iTunes by searching the words Rogue Machine Theater, Brand new episodes are posted every Thursday, so please come on back and find us then. Rant and Rave, the podcast, is a production of the Rogue Machine Theater. Executive producers are Roxanne Hart and John Poloni. Series producer is Daniel Goodman. Our webmaster is Amanda Maurer, and podcast theme music is by Gladiator. I'm Andy Goodman. Thanks for listening, and I hope to see you again next week.